You're not interested, but anyway, I will tell it anyway. So that's more or less kind of a preview, not a preview about where we are heading and what will change in the dock the next couple of months, depending how fast we go, depend on, well, time, like usual. And well, it's about improvements from the dock itself, but also we will change the whole tool chain, like we write docks, test docks, build docks, deploy docks, host docks, and well, some other more changes. First of all, the interface, like the theme will change and the user experience, and we will talk about this. Meaning, first thing is, it's not a secret anymore, there will be a new theme for the documentation from Plone 5.1 on, and it will look like this, more or less, because this was born 2 days ago, but it's changed already again, so there will be a big contribution header, the version switcher will change, and more stuff. But it is more or less how the new theme will look like. And the whole idea was to make it more looks like the current Plone org. Then quality assurance and usability, meaning we will try further to improve the quality of the documentation, and also that's more functional for a user if you look for stuff. Meaning, first of all, we will try to shorten in the documents because we have some documents mostly in the developer parts of the documentation which are ridiculously long. I think the longest document has something like around 6,000 lines, and it's really hard to read it because, first of all, how it's structured and how it's written, and it's way too long because also we have some files which are put too much information in one file and it's not all really related, so we will split them up. And also header, we will try to shorten lots of headers. We already start with it because it's also mostly in the developer documentation. Lots of the headers makes no sense at all because the headers is basically one weird command or command line output. And since headers, we use headers also in the search now more and more. So we try to shorten them and make them also better that if you actually search for something, you get meaningful answers. Then we will change the entry to the documentation. Like at the moment we have the thing, we have the navigation bar on the left and the thing we manage and installing and all the stuff. And we will adjust it more that it's more appealing for certain audiences, like I want to work with content, I want to develop, I want to integrate stuff. So it's more like you go to docs.plone.org and then you still have the navigation bar, but you also have boxes which say for content, for integrators, and then you can click on it and then it's easier. Because if you are busy with, if you want to learn how I work with content in Plone, you are in the beginning most of the time not interested in how I work in the ZCML. So we will hide that. That's better user experience. Then we will start moving more stuff around and we'll change the structure and the URL handling. For example, we have still, from the old days, some parts under external. That is basically stuff which we fetch from external repositories. And that's good for us to know, but that's not interesting at all for the user to know. So we will change that. And also some stuff which is now hidden under, for example, development. And then it's a bit complicated if you're not too used to Plone and you want to find out, I just want to develop an add-on and not the Plone core. So we made the structure more easier and more clear. And also we will change the voice of the docs. If you write documentation for developers, it's better to write them different than for normal users. For normal users who are starting with Plone, wondering, I want to add a page, I want to add a picture, we should be even more carefully and use a better language and an easier language that's easier to understand. That doesn't mean we should not do that. We should also do that, of course, for developer documentation, but usually developer documentation, it's a bit more technical. So that's fine for developer documentation, but not for end user documentation. So we will also do that. And description. Lots of our documents are still missing descriptions. You go to a site and you see weird headers, but if you're not really experienced and you're looking for something, you really have to read the whole page to find out this is what I'm looking for. So we add now description, meaning topics, short topics to our documentation, that if you go to the certain site, it will tell you exactly we are talking on this part of the documentation about this certain stuff. And we try to improve the search a bit more. We started already 2 days ago with some CSS changes that you're getting now better breadcrumbs where you are. But we may also switch to a static search site instead of the live search, or even use both, so that we get better results. And by improving all the content and all the headers and adding description, we also will hopefully get better search results. Then testing. We already use testing, but not officially, because we are using at the 5.1 branch a couple of tests. They are running in CI on Circle, not on Travis, sorry for that, but yeah. Anyway, but we will now move more and more tests into CI tests. It's a bit tricky because the state of our docs is still not really suited for that yet, because we still have too many things where it makes no sense to run tests because they will fail all the time. So we start really slowly, like checking, I will talk about it in a second, that we use consistent wording, like that taking care that GitHub is already written the same, that Plone is already written the same, and all that stuff. The meanings, we will try the usual stuff like typos, links, and but also grammar. Grammar means, for example, we check for really tiny stuff to make sure that sentences are not starting, for example, with so, that we are not using sentences with the obvious, because nothing is obvious, and more of this stuff. Then HTML validation and file age. HTML validation is kind of tricky because the HTML, what we get from Sphinx, is actually really, really bad, because Sphinx builders is not following any validation for HTML. But we got it working for some stuff, and we're trying to improve that more and more over the time. And also file age. File age, we will run tests on file age, but this will be so-called soft checks, because sometimes it doesn't mean that the file is wrong because it didn't change for a year, because maybe there was no change. But we want to get at least reminders about files which are older than a certain time, that we at least check them if we completely forgot them, or maybe that doesn't change something at all. Then we also will check length of lines, files, and descriptions, that we make sure that all our files have more or less the same length. That is, of course, flexible, because it always depends on the sentences and you don't want to cut them. Then lines, we don't use 80 numbers. We're trying around something like 130, but this is also not strict. And also descriptions, we want descriptions to be descriptions. That means really short, one or two sentences, and not that people write a whole book as a description and then only five lines as the whole document. So we'll also check that. And if your description is longer than, I don't know, a certain amount of words, the test will fail. Then what I told already, word style, that we make sure with GitHub always the same, and JavaScript and Plone, HTML, and all this. And we add more and more accessibility tags. We starting with alt tags for images, and then we add also more and more. This goes together with the HTML validation and lots of other fancy documentation and grammar checks, but they will come later. Then tools. We will adjust our tools, and a couple of words about that. The whole idea is to make documentation or contributing to documentation easier for non-developers. So if you're a developer and you run VirtualEnv and Python and all the stuff, you will think, okay, that's really easy. I just create my VirtualEnv, install, I don't know, Spring, and just write on it. But if you're not a developer and you want to contribute to the docs, actually, even setting up VirtualEnv and installing Spring can be quite hard or time-consuming and just frustrating, depends on your computer and setup. So we are trying really to make that a bit more pleasant and easier for less technical, non-developer kind of people. So the first thing what we use is Henry. We had already one proud test user of Henry. I will talk with him later about what you can improve. Henry is still now a Mac release as alpha 1 or even 0.1, so it's early stages. And Henry is nothing more than just a nice wrapper around Spring, giving you a nice command line interface where you can tell different options, like I want to use HTML, I want to use Surf Mode or whatever. And the whole idea is you don't have to install Spring Node stuff, it's safe. Basically, it's like Mr. Docs, the old version, but then on steroids and improved and much better. And hopefully the demo thing will work now. So, is it big enough?
Yes.
Here I have my cool project where I want to write docs. So I go to my cool project, and then I have docs. I change into my docs directory, and here you can see I have an index. And now I want to add something to my index, so I go to my index. That's great, I added something, but okay, now I want to see how it looks like, and not only if I render restructured text, but I really want to see how it will look like, for example, on my docs.plonorg. So I want to see it with the Plon theme. So then I use Henry, and if you try Henry, it gives you a nice description what you can do. Just the reminder, Surf is experimental and it's kind of unsecure at the moment to use because I'm mounting your whole network stack into your Docker container. So that is just for playing and will go away. But we have a really lovely, if I say Henry HTML, this will at the moment take some time because the moment I pull every time the latest build from Docker Hub, from the Spring theme, from our theme, and then we build it. And if you go now there, you have build, and in build, you have HTML, and in build, HTML, you have that. And mainly, if you don't like Henry, you don't have to use it. Henry is just a wrapper about a Docker container, which is based on Alpine. It has all the cool stuff like SUExit, Tiny for process management, and permissions management, and whatever. And you can just use that, and then you get the whole build, or the whole docs built in, this looks like of plon.docs.org. And if you even don't like that, you just can install Spring in your VirtualEnv, use the Plon theme, and you get the same result. This is really just for, well, not just, this is really for more meant for people who are less technical and want to have an easy way. Because the only requirement you have is a Docker, and that's all, basically. Let me go further. Then the next new tool, it's called Redaktor, and that's a really opinioned testing framework. Oh yeah, one more word to Henry. Henry will be completely configurable, meaning if you don't want to use the Plon theme, but you want to use the theme of your company or your client, You can also hook that up into Henry because you can configure Henry just a really easy TOML file, and then it will grab all the stuff. And then yeah, Redactor, what I already said, a really opinion testing framework. That's meaning all the tests I just told about, they will be run by Redactor. It's also modular because you can figure in a TOML file also which test I want to use and which not. It's Docker based on Run C. I'm not sure if I move completely to Run C yet. Maybe I stay on Docker. I have to see. You can run it locally on CI. I already do that. Yeah, configuration, like I said, is via TOML files. And the cool thing is, it's not using any build out at all, because maybe some of you know I don't like build out. Build out was cool 10 years ago. So we don't need build out for all testing. And there's other cool, fancy stuff in it. Then Costa will be the improved version of Papyrus. That's basically what we are using now for building all the docs. And there's the same. It's also modular, so you can really say which version of the docs I want to build. It's not only for Plone. You can also use it for other restructured text or Markdown projects. Yes. It's also configurable via TOML, like because we are fetching lots of external docs and build them the docs. And in the TOML file, you can also say, I want to use the Ansible, Plone Ansible playbook documentation. I want to use the Azure theme documentation. And you edit there, and then it will fetch it. And then, yeah, more changes. We will, Paul already started on it together with Asko. We will decouple the robot framework, which is currently included into our documentation, and we will move them out of it. And for various reasons, first of all, they should go into CMF Plone and creating screenshots if you write on an add-on or on a login interface or whatever, should be part of core testing because you are developing or working on a piece of core software with the graphical interface, so this graphical interface should be tested anyway. Also, it's for people who want to contribute to the docs, it's way better because the whole RST files are cleaner and they don't get confused because of the mix between the documentation parts and the robot test parts. Also, we get shorter files, which is always nice. And we will run then not every, it's also what Paul yesterday told, not every time, but basically, I don't know, once a week or so. And then if you make, of course, a release of your package, there should be included into it. And for infrastructure, currently it's built by Papyrus, and then we old school async it to the server. It's kind of working, but well, could be better. So first of all, I'm not happy how it's going in the moment because we didn't have the docs release since a long time, and that was basically to do with some kind of miscommunication when Plone 5.1 will be released. So we really hurried to get lots of changes into this release because we were expecting it in something like a couple of weeks, but this is now already 3 months ago. So we will now, from next month on, have, I call them weekly builds because it depends how much documentation goes into it, but basically we get weekly builds of unstable documentation, that meaning of Plone versions which are not released yet. In the moment that, for example, would be 5.1 docs. There will be a Docker container. You can just fetch them from Docker Hub and run them locally. And yeah, you can use Henry to view them, or you can, you don't need it because it's a container with built HTML, but it's possible also to use Henry. And we are slowly, and I repeat, slowly moving all the stuff into containers. And we do it really slowly because we also want to do it carefully, but also since for some people, some of the techniques are new, so people have to get used to it. And so we do that really carefully. And we have even more cool things. This really now geeky stuff, maybe, I don't know. We will change also, we work on compression, and we will compress stuff which is not already compressed with Brotli. That makes it a bit more faster via SSL and HTTP2. And we will proxy it then and use Kedi in the container as the web server. That makes it way easier to work on web server configuration, like adding rewrites or stuff like that. And for hosting, basically, that means we will run one Kubernetes cluster, and then if you pull request, the pull request will test it in the long run, and if it, like, it's everything is green, CI will build the container, will push it to Docker Hub, and then Kubernetes will fetch it from Docker Hub, and then the new docs are online. That's basically all. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I know you don't like documentation. It's okay. Questions? No questions?
I have a comment.
Yes.
Yeah. We have been building this documentation called Help Center at the University of Jyväskylä. We are using Flow 5, and there's also Mosaic front page to it, and nice little tiles for different categories, and then search that only searches from the certain section of the documentation. And I think it's gotten some good feedback, or am I right? Valtteri knows about that also.
Yeah, there has been some good feedback, but this is all very technical, but I think that documentation could just be written in Flow.
We had that, if you remember, we had that, and we did really lots of work to move it out of Plone. The idea is nice to have it in Plone, and yes, search is working better in Plone, but it's not about just have one piece of documentation, because we have also lots of pieces from stuff which we include, like Plone Form Gym, like Diazo docs, Ansible Playbook docs. And so the whole idea is I want to that developers are writing actually documentation about their stuff. And so usually if you work in a repository, in your code repository, you should also write your documentation in the code repository. I don't want to tell developers that, oh, and now you have to move to the Plone site and do copy and paste or whatever. So I want also to have the documentation in the repository up to date, and I have to want to include screenshots. So, and the thing is, you have to try, at least in my opinion, a way to make it for the developer who usually likes development but not writing documentation, because it's hard, it's different, and they are bored about it because they still think, or most, or some of them still think it's not important. I want to make it easy for them and stay less in the way as possible. That's also one idea why you put all the stuff in the repository. Because, yeah, if I tell them, now you have to log in here, now you have to do manual screenshots, will not work, and the screenshots will be outdated maybe in a month.
And yeah, there is, if you are writing documentation, it depends on what you are writing for, who your audience is and who your writing team is. If you have like a fixed writing team who are comfortable working with Plone, it can work very well in Plone, and it will certainly look better and will be better integrated. If you have to get it from various sources, plain text is the way to go. Markdown or RSD, and for our case, RSD because Python, and it's quite powerful, and it's diff it, and you can branch it and do all the things that developers are used to. But if your documentation is geared towards students, and you have a defined writing team, yes, of course, you can write it in Plone. So yeah, it's a matter of audience and a matter of who you are trying to seduce to write the documentation.
And to make once clear, in theory our docs could be look way better, but we need more persons with knowledge or well knowledge about HTML, because I suck at HTML and CSS.
Okay. Is there going to be a, some kind of contribute link or something that when you're reading a document?
Yes,
something
it's coming. We implemented it. We built it yesterday. It's okay. Just not on was not on screenshot because the screenshot is from 2 days ago. But
yeah,
now on the left huge button contribute.
Oh.
Okay. Have fun with streaming.
Thank you.